This short gospel passage we just heard reminds us Jesus calls us all to embrace children. But more importantly, the message for us today is to be like children. Throughout the Gospels, we hear Jesus turning to children as examples of others to follow. What is it about children that becomes so important for Jesus to keep making these connections to children and the kingdom of heaven? I was at a workshop a couple of years ago on the topic of leadership in an age of anxiety and change. The workshop leader asked us, how many times does the average adult laugh during the course of the day? The answer is 14. Then she asked, how many times on average do children laugh during the course of the day? The answer is 400. She then went on to talk about healthy congregations and said that one of the signs of a healthy congregation is that they have the ability to laugh at themselves. They have the ability to really have some deep belly laughs, not just a few chuckles. One of the things about having a good deep belly laugh is that you remember it for years to come. Who you were with and where you were. I remember one such time in my former parish that involved our church organist. I won't bore you with the specifics of the story because it was one of those you kind of had to be there to appreciate how it evolved. But I do clearly remember the Litwins were at the table along with the organist, myself, and the parish secretary. It was one of those stories that kept getting added to and bigger and bigger and funnier as it went on. We all laughed hard for a good 15 minutes until our stomachs actually hurt and we had difficulty catching our breath. Having the ability to laugh at oneself is actually a practice in holiness. Someone once told me that laughter is carbonated holiness. So what happens to us adults? We go from laughing some 400 times a day as children down to a lousy 14 times a day as adults. In his blog, Spiritual Common Sense, one of my oldest and dearest friends in Washington, D.C., wrote a column called The Prison of the Self, in which he wrote, most of the evils of mankind would not be possible if the ego did not persuade us that we were somehow different, somehow better, somehow more precious than others. It is the ego that draws the line between us and them and deludes us into thinking we can go it alone. At its worst, the ego can persuade us that our smallest desires are more important than someone else's life or worth, the gratification of our immediate needs more important than another's well-being, and that our view of the world should be more important than the integrity of nations and the lives of thousands. My friend Bill continues, ego is the enemy. It keeps us apart. Any activity based on ego and human ambition is a delusion and an obstacle to grace. Ego separates us from those we love and those who love us. It imprisons us and ourselves, he said. And I think Bill is right. It is the ego we attain when we become adults and leave behind the freedom of being like children that gets in our way. It is that ego, our laughter, that diminishes our laughter, our automatic sense of joy, our creativity as artists, our wonder at the world, our belief in the mystical, spiritual, transcendent qualities of life that are simply automatic responses from children. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Nicholas to honor a saint who understood the importance of children and being childlike in the way we respond to the world. St. Nicholas never lost that ability to be in the moment, to respond from the heart with unconditional love for those in need, like a child does. In the West, St. Nicholas is the patron of many persons, including children, mariners, bankers, pawnbrokers, scholars, orphans, laborers, travelers, merchants, judges, paupers, marriageable maidens, students, sailors, victims of judicial mistakes, captives, perfumers, even thieves and murderers. Many legends abound about this saint, but the most prominent of which we celebrate with the giving of gifts during his feast day, or where the idea of Santa Claus originated. This story goes something like this. There was a poor man with three daughters. In those days, a young woman's father had to offer prospective husbands something of value, a dowry. The larger the dowry, the better chance that the young woman would find a good husband. Without a dowry, a woman was unlikely to marry. This poor man's daughters, without dowries, were therefore destined to be sold into slavery or prostitution. Mysteriously, on three different occasions, a bag of gold appeared in their home, providing the needed dowries. The bags of gold tossed through an open window are said to have landed in stockings or shoes left before the fire to dry. This led to the custom of children hanging stockings or putting out shoes, eagerly awaiting gifts of St. Nicholas. Sometimes the story is told with gold balls instead of bags of gold. That is why three gold balls, sometimes represented as oranges, are one of the symbols of St. Nicholas. And so Nicholas is the gift giver. But what are some of the differences between our Santa Claus that we celebrate in our country and St. Nicholas, who we honor today? Santa Claus is round and plump. St. Nicholas is tall and thin. Santa Claus wears a stocking cap. St. Nicholas wears a bishop's hat. Santa Claus comes on December 24th. St. Nicholas comes December 6th. Santa Claus is often seen in stores. St. Nicholas is often seen in churches. Santa Claus flies through the air from the North Pole. St. Nicholas walks the earth caring for those in need. Santa Claus, for some, replaces Jesus at Christmas. St. Nicholas, for all, points to Jesus at Christmas. Santa Claus isn't bad. St. Nicholas is just better. Where the two complement each other, however, is that each of them understands the joy of childhood and the importance of being like a child. Like Jesus, who reminds us that the kingdom of heaven belongs to the children, St. Nicholas's example underscores Jesus's message that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Advent and Christmas is then this time of year when we're invited to put our own personal ego aside and strive to be like children who respond lovingly out of instinct without filter. Children who laugh freely, who want to help others without prejudgment or weighing the consequences. I have to say, I learned something about you yesterday at the St. Nicholas Festival here at St. Peter's. I discovered that all of you have this ready gift to laugh, and I take that as a real healthy sign and look forward to being with you for years to come. May we help others without prejudgment or weighing the consequences. May we all seek to emulate the example of St. Nicholas in our generosity and respond to those around us with hearts of children, and thereby following Jesus' commandment to be like the little children. Amen.